because he underlies everything. Now the same is also proven on the grounds of his being present everywhere. Okay, he's Vibhu. That can be understood as due to two factors. One is that everything comes from him. Everything is actually included within him, actually within his original personal body of Krishna. Also, now we're given another way in which he's all-pervading, in that you can find him everywhere. He's every place. His original body is every place. Everything is in him, and he is every place. Those are two different ideas. Citing from the 69th chapter of the 10th canto, Narada says, Chitram batai tarekena vapusha yugapat pritak griheshu dvashta sahasram striya eka udavahot. It is quite amazing that in a single body, Lord Krishna simultaneously married 16,000 women, each in a separate palace. Jiva Goswami says about this, Etad Bhatta Aho Chitram. Kim Tat. Oh, this is indeed amazing. What is that? Eka Eva Sri Krishna Dvashta Sahasram Strier. Yet Udavahat Pranparinitovan. It is amazing that Krishna alone led 16,000 women from their parents' home. He married them, in other words. Nanu Kramasha Udvahe Na Sambhavam Etad. No, I'm sorry, I skipped a sentence. Bhavatu tatopi kim. But what is amazing about that? This Narada answers, Tatraha Pritag Pritageva Stitva Pani Grahanadi Vivaha Vidim Kritovan. What is amazing about that? This Narada answers by saying, in their homes, I jumped over two sentences. Let me go back and do it again. Nanu kim ascharyam. But what is amazing about that? Griheshu iti tat sankhyakeshu sarvesh vitisheshaha. In their homes, the implied completion of which thought, it just says in the homes in the verse, but that implies the implied completion of which thought is in all of their homes, in that many of them, in so many different places. Bhavatu tatopikim, yes, but what else? Tatraha pritang pritang eva stitva pani grahanadi vivaha vidim kritivan. Yes, but what else? He performed the wedding rituals of taking the bride's hand and so on, standing separately in each of those places. Nanu kramasha udvahe na sambhavam etat. Well, that's not inconceivable if he married them one after another. Tatraha yugapaditi. This is answered by saying all at the same time. Yugapat. Nanu yogeshwaropi Yugapan, Nana Vapumshi Vidaya, Tadvidatum Shaknoti, Kimatra Yogeshwar Aradya Charananam, Yushmakam, Apichitram, Tatra Ekeno Vapusheti. But a great master of yoga could also do this by producing many bodies for himself simultaneously. How then does this amaze you? Krishna, whose feet are worshipped by the masters of yoga. I'm sorry, Narada. How does it amaze you, Narada, whose feet are worshipped by the masters of yoga? This Narada answers by saying, in a single body. Krishna married so many. This is how Krishna is present in many places at once, at the same time. He got married to so many queens. And it wasn't just, by email arrangement, long-distance marriage. The ceremonies were all performed in their homes, the palaces of the queens. And he was simultaneously present in the same body. Not just expanded bodies, but the same one, Krishna, was present in all those places simultaneously. Commentary. Sage Narada came to visit Krishna in Dwarka city and observed how his Lord lived in the separate palaces of each of his queens. Even before entering Krishna's private quarters, he was pondering the wonder of Krishna's expanding himself 16,000 times in the same form. Narada became even more astonished when he actually saw Krishna engaged in different activities in each palace, pleasing all his queens and the other participants of his pastimes. A human being advanced in yoga discipline might be able to create a few multiple bodies for himself, but only duplicate reflections of himself, not autonomous expansions like Lord Krishna's in Dwarka. Tarika tamapi aneka bahvadikena vyapakena aikena vabusha tatkritavan maivam. But then he must have somehow done this all in one all-pervading body with many arms and other limbs. So maybe he assumed 1,000 arms and 1,000 legs and was in all these places stretching out his arms and legs. That's answered. Maivam. No, it was not like that. In the verse, Asam muhurta ekasmin nana gareshu yoshitam savidam jagrihe panin anurupa swamayaya. This is from the third canto, from a different place in the Bhagavatam. It is a known fact. Iti shimad udava vakyadau tattat anurupata prasidhe. It is a known fact that Krishna appeared just suitably for each wife. He appeared slightly differently to suit the personality of each particular wife, as is expressed in the statement of Uddhava's in the third canto. All of those princesses were lodged in different apartments, and the Lord simultaneously appeared in each place in a form exactly suitable for each and every princess. Savidam. Ekasmin, in one form, Savidam, Anurupa, he appeared by his maya suitably for each separate queen. And the Lord simultaneously appeared in each place in a form exactly suitable for each and every princess. He accepted their hands in perfect rituals by his internal potency. Ityabhi pretya purven aika pada padopanyasena pariharati pritag iti. It was with this idea in mind that his being in an all-pervading body was refuted in the previous verse by indicating the word separately. Okay, it's not that he had some sahasra-shirsha body. No, he appeared separately as two-armed Krishna in each of these, in these many different places. And that's indicated by the word prithak. Ekena nadakarenaiva vapusha prithak prithak tvena drishyamanas tata vihitavan. He thus managed to do this separately, meaning visible separately in each place in one and the same human-like body. Tasmad ekam eva nadavapur yato yugapat sarvadesham sarvakriyam cha vyapnoti tasman mahad ashcharyam iti vakyartaha. Thus the verse, Bhagavatam 10.69.2, states, that's the one, the first one quoted, stated by Narada, states that this is most amazing because in a single human body he extends himself simultaneously to all places and all activities. In the same one Krishna body, he's in many different places and he's doing different things in each of those places. Narada saw that as he wandered through the palaces of Krishna. He saw Krishna in different places engaged in totally different activities. Commentary. A young human bride expects that the man she is marrying, even if she has never seen him before, will be also in a human body like her own. She may not know what she's getting, but at least he'll be in a human body. It is a great privilege to marry God, but there might be a compatibility problem if he appeared to the bride in his universal form with thousands of heads, arms, and legs. Okay. Continuing. What's it? Smile? A smiley at the end, okay. Okay. I don't know if the BBT font has one. Itameva cha panchame lokadishtatu. I think that's lokadishtatu in the actual statement. Where's that from? Okay, that's not a quote, that word. Lokadishtatu. Maybe it is a quote. Sri Bhagavad Vigrahasya Tesham Ityadi Gadyopadishtasya Tadushatvam Vyakyatam Sri Swami Charanai. Such is the situation of the form of the personality of Godhead which rules the material worlds. The form of the material of the personality of Godhead which rules the material worlds. That's Vishnu. Described in a prose text of the fifth canto beginning Te Sham. That's quoted in the commentary. It's from chapter 20, verse 40 of the fifth canto. And that verse is explained by Sridhar Swami. There, Tadrishatvam Vyakyatam Sri Swami Charanai. Such is the situation of the form of the personality of Godhead as Sridhar Swami Charan explains in his commentary on that verse, on that prose passage. And Sridhar Swami's comments, although I haven't read the passage yet, is Mahavibhute Paramaishvaryasya Patitatvad ekayaiva murtyad samantad asti. Iti. Śrīla Swāmī comments on the prose passage that we haven't read yet. Because he is the master of great opulence, supreme power of control, he is present everywhere in one and the same personal form. And then another statement from the Bhagavatam 59th chapter. Aho muhurta ekasmin nana gadeshu takshtriyaha yato paye me bhagavan tavad rupa jarovyayaha. Okay. That's similar to the verse we read in the previous anuchid, or in 41.1. Ityatrapi, but it's different. Ityatrapi, atas tavat rupa dharatvam, nama, yugapat tavat pradesha prakashatvam, eveti vyakyayam, natu narayan adivad, bin akaratvam. So there's also in the statement, then the imperishable Supreme Personality, assuming a separate form for each bride, duly married all the princesses simultaneously, each in her own palace. So he's assuming that many forms, tavad rupa daro, should be explained as meaning that he manifested himself in that many locations, not that he assumed separate different forms, the way Narayan and others do. Narayan has different planets in Vaikuntha, but each of those Narayan forms is a little bit different. And then Narayan expands into his Leela avatars, which are very much different. But here Krishna is expanding the same one body, exactly the same. Yatoktam anekatra prakatata rupasaikasya yaikada sarvata tatsurupaya saprakasha itiryate. This is Rupa Goswami's definition in Sri Laghu Bhagavatamrita, which is sitting, not being edited. It may never get published, but it's sitting there. English editing, the book, the manuscript was finished 8 years ago, and the editing hasn't really started yet. When, the definition given by Rupa Goswami is, when one form of the Lord manifests himself in several places at once, retaining in all regards the same identity, that form is called what? Prakasha. Remember that. That's what prakasha means. Technical sense. Same one form is manifested in several places, in the same identity. Esha ev anyatra akarasya prakashasya cha bedo gyeyaha Sri Naradaha. In other contexts also, the same distinction between akara, or distinct, different form, and prakasha, non-different appearance, should be understood. When Jiva Goswami is going to be using these two different terms, understand the difference between them. Akara means different forms. Prakasha means the same form manifested in more than one place. The verse under discussion was spoken by Sri Narada. Okay, and now the commentary on this. We want to find out about that prose passage. All we were given was the first word of it. Yesham. Well, that doesn't tell us much. Yesham. So we looked it up. Where is it here? Tesham. So it begins with Tesham, but it would be nice to know what the other words after that are. So we'll find out. Commentary. In his description of the outer regions of the material universe, it's as if the readers of this Sundarbha are supposed to know the prose passage or know where to find them immediately without a computer. In his description of the outer regions of the material universe, Shukadev Goswami told Maharaj Parikshit about the Loka Loka mountain range beyond which no light of the sun reaches, about the form of the Supreme Lord who appears on the top of the Loka Loka and radiates his beneficent influence everywhere, Shukadev said, Tesham Swavibhuti Nam Lokapala Nam Cha Vivida Viryopa Brimhanaya Bhagavan Paramamaha Purusho Mahavibhuti Patir Antaryam Atmano Vishuddhasattvam Dharmagana Vairagyaishvar Yad Ashtamaha Siddhupalakshanam Vishwaksen Adibi Swaparshada Pravavrayar Parivarito Parivarito Nija Varayudo Pashobitayar Nija Buja Dandayar Sandaryamanas Tasmin Girivare Samantad Sakalaloka Swastaya Aste. Okay, anyone want to try to memorize it? The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the master of all transcendental opulences and the master of the spiritual sky. He is the Supreme Person, Bhagawan, the supersoul of everyone. The demigods led by Indra, the King of Heaven, are entrusted with seeing to the affairs of the material world, to benefit all living beings in all the varied planets, and to increase the power of those elephants. Elephants? Okay, because we're out of context here. I guess there were some elephants. The elephants on the top of the mountain. And of the demigods, the Lord manifests... I think that needs some explanation about the elephants. The Lord manifests himself on top of that mountain in a spiritual body, uncontaminated by the modes of material nature, surrounded by his personal expansions and assistance like Vishwaksena. He exhibits all his perfect opulences, such as religion and knowledge. This is a particular form of the Lord on top of Loka Loka Mountain. And his mystic powers, such as Anima, Logima, and Mahima. He is beautifully situated, and he is decorated by the different weapons in his four hands. Okay, now why was that quoted?
Just small things about the elephants. The previous verse speaks about these four elephants on each direction on a local.
Okay, they're on top of below on top of the mountain.
Top.
Okay, on top of the mountain, there are four big elephants. Well, anyway, this is a form of the Lord who appears. It looks like that's an all-pervading form of the Lord. Krishna is different. Wait, are we contrasting with the way Krishna is, or showing this is just like Krishna? Like Krishna or different? We've got two different things. We've got the way Krishna is, that he's in one place, but that one body can be in many places also. Then you got the Lord's body that just stretches out everywhere with thousands of hands and arms. It looks like this is an example of the stretching out body, if I'm not right, if I'm not wrong.
Say, Samantad Ashti, Samasa means situated everywhere.
Yes.
But by one form.
I know, but that's one form that stretches out everywhere. Okay. When Krishna married his queens, he didn't stretch out thousands of arms and legs. He had only two legs, and they were only, you know, only that long. Two arms and two legs. It was different. If he puts himself in many different places in a limited body, that's one thing. If he takes one body and expands it out to cover the whole universe, that's a different thing. They're both one body, but still the method of expanding is different. Okay, now continuing the commentary. The Supreme Lord expands himself in many different ways, resulting in the unlimited varieties of the spiritual and material realms. The original form of the Supreme, however, is Sri Krishna, the darling of Vraja, who in his later years sported as the Prince of Mathura and Dwaraka. From Krishna expand countless other forms of God, beginning with Sri Balaram, which display various aspects of his personality. But for special purposes, Krishna sometimes duplicates himself exactly, without any difference or partial concealment of his glories, not even a partial concealment. This is explained by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Laghu Bhagavatamrita, which has been cited here. In Vraja, he expanded himself into as many Krishnas as there were gopis dancing with him in the Rasa Leela. He also later manifested himself as thousands of identical forms for his thousands of queens in Dwarka. Because these Krishnas were indistinguishable from one another, when he went home at night, each queen thought she alone had the company of her husband. And when in the morning he left home to attend the royal assembly, the thousands of Krishnas merged into one. Okay. Now moving into Anuchet 42. Okay. Tatayev Aha. And similarly it is stated, still on the same topic. Icha charantam saddharman pavanan grihamedinam tameva sarva geheshu santam ekam dadarsha. This is also chapter 69, the chapter of Narada visiting Dwarka. Thus in every palace, he, Narada, saw the Lord in his same personal form, executing the transcendental principles of religion that purify those engaged in household affairs. You're going to tell him? What's he going to tell him to stop? Sarvageheshu teshu tameva, sarvageheshu tameva natu tasyam shan. Ah, so Jiva Goswami tells us, in each every residence he saw, Narada saw Krishna only, not his plenary parts. He didn't see amshas, he saw Krishna only. Oh, Hare Krishna. Narada saw. Ekam eva santam, natu kaya vyuhena bahurupam. Ekam santam bahuda drishyamanam iti shute. He was present in this same form, ekam eva, not in many different forms by kaya vyuha, expansion of his bodies. After all, this form of Krishna is proven to be all-pervasive. In the words of the Shruti, he is one but appears as many. I think that's the Gopaltapati Upanishad. And also by such other statements as na chantar na bahir yasya ityadina vibhuti siddhesh cha. Krishna is proven to be all-pervasive in these two statements. The second one is he who has no inside and no outside. We were reading that, discussing that earlier, in an earlier anuchet. Mother Yashoda was able to tie him up even though he's unlimited. Ha sputam eva dadarsha Bhagavad datta shaktya sakshad ev anubhutavan, natu kevalam anumitavan, narada iti sheshaha. I see. The word ha, which can be translated as indeed, indicates that he saw him clearly, that by the power granted him by the Lord, he perceived this directly, rather than only inferring it. He didn't just logically assume it or deduce it. He saw it with his own eyes. And the idea of this statement is completed because he, but who is he? The idea of this statement is completed by understanding that it was Narada who saw Krishna. Narada is the subject of all these sentences. Commentary. The many Krishnas Narada saw in the Dwarka palaces were not partial expansions of his, like the Narayan forms of Vaikuntha, or his pastime incarnations in every different species of life. These amshas of Krishna are one with him in essential substance. Let's just say these partial amshas. No. Amsha expansions, how's that? These amsha expansions of Krishna's are one with him in essential substance and potency, but they are considered partial forms because they do not exhibit entirely his assets and powers. The amshas have all the powers, all the qualities, but they don't show all of them. Neither were the Krishnas seen by Narada different forms at all. They were all the same one, Krishna, in thousands of places at once. They weren't even amshas. They were showing all of Krishna's glories. These bodies of Krishna in the different palaces of the queen. Mother Yashoda also witnessed how one small Krishna could be too big for all the ropes in the world to tie. When she tried to punish her son briefly by binding him up, he stubbornly refused to be delimited until Yashoda's helpless surrender was sufficiently tested. Na chantar na bahir yasya, na purvam na picha param, purva param bahis chantar, jagato yo jagachaya, tamadvad majam avyaktam, marchalingam adhokshajam, gopiko lukale dhamna, babanda prakritam yata. This is Bhagavatam 10.9, verses 13 and 14. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has no beginning and no end, no exterior and no interior, no front and no rear. In other words, he is all-pervading. Because he is not under the influence of the element of time, for him there is no difference between past, present, and future. He exists in his own transcendental form at all times. Being absolute, beyond relativity, he is free from distinction between cause and effect, although he is the cause and effect of everything. That unmanifest person, who is beyond the perception of the senses, had now appeared as a human child, and Mother Yashoda, considering him her ordinary child, bound him to the wooden mortar with a rope. Envious pretenders like Putana should be warned that just because Krishna might let them put him on their laps, they should not dare to presume they have gained control over him. He has no perimeter outside of which he is not present. He may be a captive in his devotees' hearts, but he can appear outside any time that suits him to engage malicious demons who try to harm his devotees. I think Hiranyakashipu, no, who was it? Hiranyakashipu is criticizing that he's just a cheat. You know, he plays tricks to kill his enemies, and then he hides in the hearts of his devotees to avoid being captured. So demons shouldn't think like that. Yeah. 42.2. Ata eva Krishnasyanantavirasya yoga maya mahodayam muhurdvishtva vishirabud vismito jata kautukaha. That's a concluding verse of that section from the 69th chapter of the 10th canto. Narada reacts to seeing all this. Therefore, having repeatedly seen the vast mystic display of Lord Krishna, whose power is unlimited, the sage was amazed and delighted. So this is different than Arjuna seeing the universal form with thousands of heads chewing off the heads of demons and the fighters on the battle of Kurukshetra. Arjuna was not, well, he says Rishi tells me, but he was terrified to see it. But when Narada saw Krishna expanding himself as Krishna in all the different palaces, Narada was simply amazed and delighted. He wasn't frightened, terrified, or strucken. Tatra cha yogamaya durgatani chitshakti. Here, yogamaya is the spiritual energy who makes possible the unlikely. Tritiye Sri Sanakadinam Vaikuntha Gamane Yogamaya Shabdena Parameshware Tu Prayujyamane Chitshaktir Uchyata Iti Swami Bir Iti Vyakyatamasti. Here, yogamaya. Oh, where is yogamaya being used? Oh, Krishna's Ananta Viryasya Yogamaya Mahodayam. Seeing the great display of Lord Krishna's yogamaya. But here, yogamaya is the spiritual energy. Because Krishna uses yogamaya to mean the material maya in the Gita. Naham prakashak sarvasya yogamaya samavita. There he's talking about material maya. But here, yogamaya means the spiritual energy who makes possible the unlikely. That God is going to urinate on the neighbor's, you know, living room, that's unlikely. But by yogamaya, such things happen. In the description of the journey of Sri Sanaka and his brothers to Vaikuntha, in the third chapter, chapter 15, the word yogamaya, being used with reference to the Supreme Lord, describes his spiritual energy. And it is explained by Sridhar Swami as such in his commentary. Jata kautuko munir muhurdrishtva vismito bhut. Delighted, the sage looked repeatedly and became amazed. Kaya vyuhastavad tadvisheshu api bahushu eva sambhavati. Okay, I have to read all of it here. Tamvinapi madhyamakarepi tasmin sarvavyapakatvam apurvam iti tasyapi vismaye hetur nanyateti spashtam eva yatoktam geyam. Taking this literally, the sage looked repeatedly and became amazed. Taking that literally, as it is spoken, the reason for Narada's being amazed is his thinking. He thought, This could be an expansion of separate forms if there were present many forms similar to the one original. But it is unprecedented that even without such an expansion, he is by his one form pervading everything while remaining in a medium size. Krishna didn't make different forms as he does when he expands into his Chaturvyuha and so on. Without expanding, he put himself in several places. Otherwise, we should understand Narada would not have been amazed. Narada goes to Vaikuntha all the time. He knows about the Lord's expanding into different forms. He worships them in his ashram in Badrinath. He worships the expansions of Lord Narayan. So what's amazing for Narada? But when he saw Krishna in the same body, present in all the palaces, that amazed him. Anena sarvatak pani padam tat iti tadrishyam shrimurtyam evam vyakyatam bhavati. By this logic, the words, his hands and feet are everywhere, are explained as referring to such a special appearance of the Lord's divine body. This is Krishna talking in the Gita. I'll tell you about the real object of knowledge. Geyam yat tat pravakshami yagyat vamritam ashnute. I will tell you about the object of knowledge, knowing which you will taste nectar. And then he says, sarvatak pani padam tat. This absolute truth has his arms and legs everywhere. How to understand that? Jiva Goswami is proposing that the highest form of the Supreme, Krishna, expands himself without expanding. He puts himself in his eka rupa forms, tadekatma rupa forms. He can be simultaneously in thousands of different places without changing into a different form. Like a man, he has to dress in one way to go to the office. And then he goes to a dinner party after the office. And then he goes play golf. And then he goes home and he goes to bed. He has to dress himself differently in each place. He has to change his form. But Krishna doesn't have to. He doesn't have to change himself. He can be in 16,000 different places in exactly the same form. Commentary. The four Kumara brothers are highly exalted sages with great powers of spiritual discipline, on the strength of which they can travel anywhere freely, even Vaikuntha. Once they entered the transcendental realm of Vaikuntha on a whim, a visit which proved fateful. Other people can't just go to Vaikuntha. They just go to a travel agent and ask, you know, where's another interesting place to go on vacation? And it suggests to them, well, you haven't been to Vaikuntha, why don't you just go there? Ordinary people can't just walk into Vaikuntha, but the four Kumaras can. Once they entered the transcendental realm of Vaikuntha on a whim, a visit that proved fateful. While on this tour, they lost their impersonal self-satisfaction and became helplessly attracted to the Supreme Lord Narayan. So all of their sadhana went down the tubes when they went to Vaikuntha. Their whole lives were changed, turned upside down. They were turned into Vaishnavas. That's the first thing. But only after having an angry encounter with two of the main gatekeepers of Vaikuntha, resulting in the gatekeepers' fall and birth as the troubling demons Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. They became devotees, but first of all, they got themselves in trouble. They caused the fall down of two of the Vaikuntha Vasis and turned them into demons. So it was a fateful visit. Maitreya describes the Kumara's first impression of Vaikuntha. Okay, so here's the account of the visit of Vaikuntha. Tad vishvagur vadikritam bhuvanaika vanyam divyam vichitra vibhudagriya vimana shochihi apurmudam, apurmparamudam, apurvamupetya yoga, maya balena munayas tadato vikuntam. Upon reaching Vaikuntha in the spiritual world by dint of their mystic yoga performance, they perceived unprecedented happiness. They found that the spiritual sky was illuminated by highly decorated airplanes piloted by the best devotees of Vaikuntha and was predominated by the preceptor of all the worlds. Commenting on this verse, Srila Sridhar Swami reads Yoga Maya in two different ways. This verse, 3:15:26, this is Yoga Maya occurring in the verse we just quoted. And Sridhar Swami comments on that word in two different ways. Yoga Maya Balaineti Ashtanga Yoga Prabhavin Opetya. They reached Vaikuntha on the strength of Yoga Maya, meaning by the power of their practice of the eight-level yoga system. In other words, yoga maya balena can be understood as an adverb phrase connected with the verb phrase reaching Vaikuntha. Reaching Vaikuntha by yoga maya, by their yogic power. Parameshvare tu yoga mayeti chitshakti vilasa iti drashtavyam. But we should note that in reference to the Supreme Lord, yoga maya means the play of his spiritual potency. Vaikuntha is everything said about it here. It's ruled by the spiritual master of all spiritual masters. And so, primarily because of the influence there, and so on, primarily because of the influence there of Lord Narayan's personal energy. Perhaps even more than the four Kumaras, their younger brother, Narada, has been everywhere and seen everything. He goes to Vaikuntha quite often. He has witnessed many of the avatars of the Supreme Lord in various ages and is acquainted with countless sages and devotees of the Lord, a number of whom are his own disciples, including Krishna Dwaipayan of Vyas. The kind of simple expansion into several bodies that a mundane yogi might perform is nothing spectacular for Narada. He can easily perform Kaya Vyuha himself. He's seen it, he can do it himself, expand into several forms. But he was amazed when he saw Krishna in Dwaraka at home with his 16,000 families, all at the same time, but without producing separate duplicate forms of himself. Krishna spoke the words Sarvatat Pani Padam Tat to Arjuna in their conversation before the commencement of the Battle of Kurukshetra, as recorded in the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Actually, Krishna was quoting verbatim from the Shvetashvatara Upanishad. Same verses there. And the Upanishad is eternal. The Upanishad is eternal. So Krishna is quoting the Shvetashvatara Upanishad. Sarvatat pani padam tat sarvatokshi shiro mokam sarvatak shruti malloke sarvam avritya tishtati. Everywhere are his hands and feet. Everywhere his eyes, heads, mouths, and ears. He is present everywhere, pervading everything. This can be understood in a few ways. How do we understand he's got his arms and legs all over the place? One is that the creator of the universe has his universal body with thousands of limbs and thousands of heads, each with a complete set of senses. That Virat body covers the entire extent of the material creation. Another idea is that, even in his original forms, with only two or four arms and one head, the Supreme Lord's senses are unlimited in their scope. He can eat with his eyes or see with his hands. And do this at a distance, at any distance, anywhere in the material and spiritual worlds. Yet another idea is that as the supersoul of all individual creatures, Lord Vishnu has access to everyone's senses. And finally, that's the third explanation, fourth explanation, finally, Krishna, the original personality of Godhead, has the unique power to be in many places at once, even without expanding extra bodies. Okay. We'll stop there for now. We're still in Anuchet 42. One more paragraph, but we'll do that tomorrow. Okay. Thank you, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.